God. Us do the best us can to please him with what us like. You telling me God love you and you ain't never done nothing for him? I mean, not go to church, sing in the choir, feed the preacher and all like that? But if God loved me, Celie, I don't have to do all that, unless I want to. There's a lot of other things I can do that I expect God likes. Like what? I asked. Oh, she say, I can lay back and just admire stuff. Be happy. Have a good time. Well, this sound like blasphemy sure enough. She say, Celie, tell the truth. Have you ever found God in church? I never did. I just found a bunch of folks hoping for him to show. Any God I ever felt in church, I brought in with me. And I think all the other folks did too. They come to church to share God, not find God. Some folks didn't have him to share, I said. They the ones didn't speak to me while I was there struggling with my big belly and mister's cheering. Right, she say. Then she say, tell me what your God look like, Celie. Oh, no, I say. I'm too ashamed. Nobody ever asked me this before, so I'm sort of took by surprise. Besides, when I think about it, it don't seem quite right, but it all I got. I decide to stick up for him, just to see what Shug say. Okay, I say. He big and old and tall and gray-bearded and white. He wear white robes and go barefooted. Blue eyes? She asked. Sort of bluish-gray. Cool. Big, though. White lashes, I say. She laugh. Why you laugh? I asked. I don't think it's so funny. What you expect him to look like, mister? That wouldn't be no improvement, she say. Then she tell me this old white man is the same God she used to see when she prayed. If you wait to find God in church, Celie, she say, that's who is bound to show up, 'cause that's where he live. How come? I asked. 'Cause that's the one that's in the white folks' white Bible. Shug, I say, God wrote the Bible. White folks had nothing to do with it. How come he looked just like them then, she say, only bigger, and a heap more hair? How come the Bible just like everything else they make? All about them doing one thing and another, and all the colored folks doing is getting cursed. I never thought about that. Nettie says somewhere in the Bible it say Jesus' hair was like lamb's wool, I say. Well, says Shug, if he came to any of these churches we talking about, he'd have to have it conked before anybody paid him any attention. The last thing niggas want to think about their God is that his hair kinky. That's the truth, I say. Ain't no way to read the Bible and not think God white, she say. Then she sigh. When I found out I thought God was white and a man, I lost interest. You mad 'cause he don't seem to listen to your prayers. Huh. Do the male listen to anything colored say? Ask Sophia, she say. But I don't have to ask Sophia. I know white people never listen to colored, period. If they do, they only listen long enough to be able to tell you what to do. Here's the thing, says Shug, the thing I believe. God is inside you and inside everybody else. You come into the world with God. But only them that search for it inside find it. And sometimes it just manifests itself, even if you're not looking or don't know what you're looking for. Trouble do it for most folks, I think. Sorrow, Lord. Feeling like shit. It? I asked. Yeah, it. God ain't a he or a she, but a it. But what do it look like? I asked. Don't look like nothing, she say. It ain't a picture show. It ain't something you can look at apart from anything else, including yourself. I believe God is everything, say Shug. Everything that is or ever was or ever will be. And when you can feel that and be happy to feel that, you found it. Shug, a beautiful something, let me tell you. She frown a little, look out across the yard, lean back in her chair, look like a big rose. She say, my first step from the old white man was trees, then air, then birds, then other people. But one day when I was sitting quiet and feeling like a motherless child, which I was, it come to me, that feeling of being part of everything. Not separate at all. I knew that if I cut a tree, my arm would bleed. And I laughed and I cried and I run all around the house. I knew just what it was. In fact, when it happened, you can't miss it. It's sort of like you know what, she say, grinning and rubbing high up on my thigh. Shug, I say. Oh, she say, God love all them feelings. That's some of the best stuff God did. And when you know God loves them, you enjoy them a lot more. You can just relax, go with everything that's going, and praise God by liking what you like. God don't think it dirty, I asked. No, she say, God made it. Listen, God love everything you love and a mess of stuff you don't. But more than anything else, God love admiration. You saying God vain? I asked. No, she say, not vain. Just wanting to share a good thing. I think it pisses God off if you walk by the color purple in a field somewhere and don't notice it. What'd it do when it pissed off? I asked. Oh, it makes something else. People think pleasing God is all God care about, but any fool living in the world can see it always trying to please us back. Yeah, I say. Yeah, she say. It always making little surprises and springing them on us when us least expect. You mean it want to be loved, just like the Bible say? Yes, Celie, she say. Everything want to be loved. Us sing and dance, make faces and give flower bouquets, trying to be loved. You ever notice that trees do everything to get attention we do? Except walk? Well, let's talk and talk about God, but I'm still adrift. Trying to chase that old white man out of my head. I've been so busy thinking about him, I never truly noticed nothing God make. Not a blade of corn. How it do that? Not the color purple. Where it come from? Not the little wildflowers? Nothing. Now that my eyes opening, I feels like a fool. Next to any little scrub of a bush in my yard, Mr.'s evil sort of shrink. But not altogether. Still, it is like Shug say, you have to get man off your eyeball before you can see anything at all. Man corrupt everything, say Shug. He on your box of grits, in your head, and all over the radio. He try to make you think he everywhere. Soon as you think he everywhere, you think he God, but he ain't. Whenever you trying to pray, and man plop himself on the other end of it, tell him to get lost, says Shug. Conjure up flowers, wind, water, a big rock. But this hard work, let me tell you. He been there so long, he don't want to budge. He threatened lightning, floods, and earthquakes. Us fight. I hardly pray at all. Every time I conjure up a rock, I throw it. Amen. Dear Nettie, When I told Suge I'm writing to you instead of to God, she laughed. Netta don't know these people, she say. Considering who I've been writing to, this strike me funny. It was Sophia you saw working as the mayor's maid, the woman you saw carrying the white woman's packages that day in town. Sophia, Mr. Son Harpo's wife. Police's lock her up for sassing the mayor's wife and hitting the mayor back. First she was in prison, working in the laundry and dying fast. Then us got her moved to the mayor's house. She had to sleep in a little room up under the house, but it was better than prison. Flies, maybe, but no rats. Anyhow, they kept her 11 and a half years, give her 6 months off for good behavior so she could come home early to her family. Her bigger children married and gone, and her littlest children mad at her, don't know who she is, think she act funny, look old, and dote on that little white gal she raised. Yesterday, us all had dinner at Odessa's house. Odessa, Sophia's sister, she raised the kids, her and her husband Jack, Harpo's woman Squeak, and Harpo himself. Sophia sit down at the big table like there's no room for her. Children reach cross her like she not there. Harpo and Squeak act like an old married couple. Children call Odessa Mama, call Squeak Lil Mama, call Sophia Miss. The only one seem to pay her any attention at all is Harpo and Squeak's little girl, Susie Q. She sit cross from Sophia and squinch up her eyes at her. As soon as dinner over, Suge push back her chair and light a cigarette. Now it's come the time to tell y'all, she say. Tell us what? Harpo asked. Us leaving, she say. Yeah, say Harpo, looking round for the coffee, and then looking over at Grady. Us leaving, Suge say again. Mister look struck, like he always look when Suge says she going anywhere. He reach down and rub his stomach, look offside her head like nothing been said. Grady say, such good peoples, that's the truth, the salt of the earth, but time to move on. Squeak not saying nothing. She got her chin glued to her plate. I'm not saying nothing either. I'm waiting for the feathers to fly. Celie is coming with us, say Suge. Mister's head swiveled back straight. Say what? He asked. Celie is coming to Memphis with me. Over my dead body, Mister say. You satisfied? That what you want? Suge say, cool as clabber. Mister start up from his seat, look at Suge, plop back down again. He look over at me. I thought you was finally happy, he say. What wrong now? You a low-down dog is what's wrong, I say. It's time to leave you and enter into the creation, and your dead body just the welcome mat I need. Say what? He asked, shock. All round the table, folks' mouths be dropping open. You took my sister Nettie away from me, I say. And she was the only person loved me in the world. Mister start to sputter, but, sound like some kind of motor. But Nettie and my children coming home soon, I say. And when she do, all us together gonna whoop your ass. Netta and your children, say Mister, you talking crazy. I got children, I say, being brought up in Africa. Good schools, lots of fresh air and exercise, turning out a heap better than the fools you didn't even try to raise. Hold on, say Harpo. Oh, hold on, hell, I say. If you hadn't tried to rule over Sophia, the white folks never would have caught her. Sophia so surprised to hear me speak up, she ain't chewed for 10 minutes. That's a lie, say Harpo. A little truth in it, say Sophia. Everybody look at her like they surprised she there. It like a voice speaking from the grave. "You was all rotten children," I say. "You made my life a hell on earth. And your daddy here ain't dead horse's shit." Mister reach over to slap me. I jab my case knife in his hand. "You bitch," he say. "What will people say? You running off to Memphis like you don't have a house to look after." Shook say, "Albert, try to think like you got some sense. Why any woman give a shit what people think is a mystery to me." "Well," said Grady, trying to bring light, "a woman can't get a man if people's talk." Shook look at me and us giggle. Then us laugh, sure enough. Then Squeak start to laugh. Then Sophia. All us laugh and laugh. Shook say, "Ain't they something?" Us say, "Mm-hmm," and slap the table, wipe the water from our eyes. Hoppo look at Squeak. "Shut up, Squeak," he say. "It bad luck for women to laugh at men." She say, "Okay." She sit up straight, sucking her breath, try to press her face together. He look at Sophia. She look at him and laugh in his face. "I already had my bad luck," she say. "I had enough to keep me laughing the rest of my life." Harpo look at her like he did the night she knocked Mary Agnes down. A little spark fly across the table. "I got 6 children by this crazy woman," he mutter. 5, she say. He's so outdone he can't even say what? He look over at the youngest child. She's sullen, mean, mischievous, and too stubborn to live in this world, but he love her best of all. Her name Henrietta. "Henrietta," he say. She say, "Yes," like they say it on the radio. Everything she say confusing. "Nothing," he say. Then he say, "Go get me a cool glass of water." She don't move. "Please," he say. She go get the water, put it by his plate, give him a peck on the cheek, say, "Po' daddy." Sit back down. "You not getting a penny of my money," mister say to me. "Not one thin dime." "Did I ever ask you for money?" I say. "I never asked you for nothing. Not even for your sorry hand in marriage." Shook break in right there. "Wait," she say. "Hold it. Somebody else going with us too. No use in Celia being the only one taking the weight." Everybody sort of cut their eyes at Sophia. She the one they can't quite find a place for. She the stranger. "It ain't me," she say. And her look say, "Fuck you for entertaining the thought." She reached for a biscuit and sort of root her behind deeper into her seat. One look at this big, stout, graying, wild-eyed woman, and you know not even to ask. Nothing. But just to clear this up neat and quick, she say, "I'm home. Period." Her sister Odessa come and put her arms round her. Jack move up close. "Course you is," Jack say. "Mama crying?" asked one of Sophia's children. "Miss Sophia too," another one say. "But Sophia cry quick, like she do most things." "Who going?" she asked. Nobody say nothing. It's so quiet you can hear the embers dying back in the stove. Sound like they falling in on each other. Finally, Squeak look at everybody from under her bangs. "Me," she say. "I'm going north." "You going what?" say Harpo. He's so surprised. He began to sputter, just like his daddy. Sound like I don't know what. "I want to sing," say Squeak. "Sing," say Harpo. "Yeah," says Squeak, "sing. I ain't sung in public since Jolintha was born." Her name Jolintha. They call her Susie Q. "You ain't had to sing in public since Jolintha was born. Everything you need, I done provided for." "I need to sing," say Squeak. "Listen, Squeak," say Harpo. "You can't go to Memphis. That's all there is to it." "Mary Agnes," say Squeak. "Squeak, Mary Agnes, what difference do it make?" "It make a lot," say Squeak. "When I was Mary Agnes, I could sing in public." Just then a little knock come on the door. Odessa and Jack look at each other. "Come in," said Jack. A skinny little white woman stick most of herself through the door. "Oh, you all are eating dinner," she say. "Excuse me." "That's all right," say Odessa. "Us just finishing up, but there's plenty left. Why don't you sit down and join us? Or I could fix you something to eat on the porch." "Oh, Lord," say Shug. Get Eleanor Jane, the white girl Sophia used to work for. She looked round till she spot Sophia. Then she seemed to let her breath out. "No, thank you, Odessa," she say. "I ain't hungry. I just come to see Sophia." "Sophia," she say, "can I see you on the porch for a minute?" "All right, Miss Eleanor," she say. Sophia pushed back from the table, and they go out on the porch. A few minutes later, us hear Miss Eleanor sniffling. Then she really boo-hoo. "What the matter with her?" Mister asked. Henrietta say, "Problems," like somebody on the radio. Odessa shrug. "She always underfoot," she say. "A lot of drinking in that family," say Jack. "Plus, they can't keep that boy theirs in college. He get drunk, aggravate his sister, chase women, hunt niggers, and that ain't all." "That enough," say Shug. "Poor Sophia." Pretty soon, Sophia come back in and sit down. "What the matter?" asks Odessa. "A lot of mess back at the house," say Sophia. "You got to go back up there?" Odessa asks. "Yeah," say Sophia, "in a few minutes. But I'll try to be back before the children go to bed." Henrietta asks to be excused, says she got a stomach ache. Squeak and Harpo's little girl come over, look up at Sophia, say, "You gotta go, Miss Sophia." Sophia say, "Yeah." Pull her up on her lap. "Sophia on parole," she say. "Got to act nice." Susie Q lay her head on Sophia's chest. "Poor Sophia," she say, just like she heard Shug. "Poor Sophia." "Mary Agnes, darling," say Harpo. "Look how Susie Q take to Sophia." "Yeah," says Squeak. "Children know good when they see it." She and Sophia smile at one another. "Go on saying," say Sophia. "I'll look after this one till you come back." "You will?" say Squeak. "Yeah," say Sophia. "And look after Harpo, too," say Squeak. "Please, ma'am." Amen. Dear Nettie, well, you know wherever there's a man, there's trouble. And it seemed like going to Memphis, Grady was all over the car. No matter which way us change up, he want to sit next to Squeak. While me and Shug sleeping and he driving, he tells Squeak all about life in North Memphis, Tennessee. I can't have sleep for him raving about clubs and clothes and 49 brands of beer. Talking so much about stuff to drink make me have to pee. Then us have to find a road going off into the bushes to relieve ourselves. Mister try to act like he don't care I'm going. "You'll be back," he say. "Nothing up north for nobody like you. Shug got talent," he say. "She can sing. She got spunk," he say. "She can talk to anybody. Shug got looks," he say. "She can stand up and be noticed. But what you got? You ugly, you skinny, you shape funny. You're too scared to open your mouth to people. All you fit to do in Memphis is be Shug's maid. Take out her slop jaw and maybe cook her food. You're not that good a cook either. And this house ain't been clean good since my first wife died. And nobody crazy or backward enough to want to marry you neither. What you gonna do? Hire yourself out to farm?" He laughed. "Maybe somebody let you work on their railroad." "Any more letters come?" I asked. He said, "What?" "You heard me," I say. "Any more letters from Nettie come?" "If they did," he say, "I wouldn't give them to you. You two of a kind, he say. A man try to be nice to you, you fly in his face. I curse you, I say. What that mean? He say. I say, until you do right by me, everything you touch will crumble. He laugh. Who you think you is? He say. You can't curse nobody. Look at you. You're black, you're poor, you're ugly, you're a woman. God damn, he say, you nothing at all. Until you do right by me, I say, everything you even dream about will fail. I give it to him straight, just like it come to me. And it seemed to come to me from the trees. Who ever heard of such a thing, say mister? I probably didn't whoop your ass enough. Every lick you hit me, you will suffer twice, I say. Then I say, you better stop talking, because all I'm telling you ain't coming just from me. Look like when I open my mouth, the air rush in and shape words. Shit, he say, I shoulda locked you up. Just let you out to work. The jail you planned for me is the one in which you will rot, I say. She'll come over to where I was talking. She take one look at my face and say, Seely. Then she turned to mister. Stop, Albert, she say. Don't say no more. You just going to make it harder on yourself. I'll fix her wagon, say mister, and spring toward me. A dust devil flew up on the porch between us, fill my mouth with dirt. The dirt say, anything you do to me, already done to you. Then I feel Suge shake me. Seely, she say, and I come to myself. I'm poor. I'm black. I may be ugly and can't cook. A voice say to everything listening, but I'm here. Amen, say Suge. Amen. Amen. Dear Nettie, so what is it like in Memphis? Suge's house is big and pink and looks sort of like a barn. Set where you would put hay, she got bedrooms and toilets and a big ballroom where she and her band sometime work. She got plenty grounds around the house and a bunch of monuments and a fountain out front. She got statues of folks I never heard of and never hoped to see. She got a whole bunch of elephants and turtles everywhere. Some big, some little, some in the fountain, some up under the trees, turtles and elephants, and all over her house. Curtains got elephants, bedspreads got turtles. She'll give me a big back bedroom, overlook the backyard and the bushes down by the creek. I know you used to morning sun, she say. Her room right across from mine in the shade. She work late, sleep late, get up late. No turtles or elephants on her bedroom furniture, but a few statues spread out round the room. She sleep in silks and satins, even her sheets, and her bed round. I wanted to build me a round house, say Suge, but everybody act like that's backward. You can't put windows in a round house, they say. But I made me up some plans anyway. One of these days, she say, showing me the papers. It a big round pink house. Looks sort of like some kind of fruit. It got windows and doors and a lot of trees round it. What it made of, I asked. Mud, she say, but I wouldn't mind concrete. I figure you could make the molds for each section, pour the concrete in, let it get hard, knock off the mold, glue the parts together somehow, and you'd have your house. Well, I like this one you got, I say. That one look a little small. It ain't bad, say Suge, but I just feel funny living in a square. If I was square, then I could take it better, she say. Us talk about houses a lot, how they built, what kind of wood people use. Talk about how to make the outside around your house something you can use. I sit down on the bed and start to draw a kind of wood skirt around her concrete house. You can sit on this, I say, when you get tired of being in the house. Yeah, she say, and let's put awning over it. She took the pencil and put the wood skirt in the shade. Flower boxes go here, she say, drawing some, and geraniums in them, I say, drawing some. And a few stone elephants right here, she say, and a turtle or two right here. And how us know you live here too, she asked. Ducks, I say. By the time us finish, our house look like it can swim or fly. Nobody cook like Shug when she cook. She get up early in the morning and go to market. Buy only stuff that's fresh. Then she come home and sit on the back step humming and shelling peas or cleaning collards or fish or whatever she bought. Then she get all her pots going at once and turn on the radio. By 1 o'clock, everything ready and she call us to the table. Ham and greens and chicken and cornbread, chitlins and black-eyed peas and souse, pickled okra and watermelon rind, caramel cake and blackberry pie. Us eat and eat and drink a little sweet wine and beer, too. Then Shug and me go fall out in her room to listen to music till all that food have a chance to settle. It cool and dark in her room, her bed soft and nice. Us lay with our arms round each other. Sometimes Shug read the paper out loud. The news always sound crazy. People fussing and fighting and pointing fingers at other people and never even looking for no peace. People insane, say Shug. Crazy as Betsy bugs. Nothing built this crazy can last. Listen, she say. Here they building a dam so they can flood out an Indian tribe that been there since time. And look at this. They making a picture about that man that killed all them women. The same man that play the killer is playing the priest. And look at these shoes they making now, she say. Try to walk a mile in a pair of them, she say. You be limping all the way home. And you see what they trying to do with that man that beat the Chinese couple to death. Nothing whatsoever. Yeah, I say, but some things pleasant. Right, says Shug, turning the page. Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton Huffelmeyer are pleased to announce the wedding of their daughter June Sue. The Morrises of Indover Road are spearheading a social for the Episcopal Church. Mrs. Herbert Edenfale was on a visit last week to the Adirondacks to see her ailing mother, the former Mrs. Jeffrey Hood. All these faces look happy enough, say Shug, big and beefy, eyes clear and innocent, like they don't know them other crooks on the front page. But they the same folks, she say. But pretty soon, after cooking a big dinner and making a to-do about cleaning the house, Shug go back to work. That mean she never give a thought to what she eat, never give a thought to where she sleep. She on the road somewhere for weeks at a time, come home with bleary eyes, rotten breath, overweight, and sort of greasy. No place hardly to stop and really wash herself, especially her hair, on the road. Let me go with you, I say. I can press your clothes, do your hair. It would be like old times, when you was singing at Harpo's. She said, no. She can act like she not bored in front of an audience of strangers, a lot of them white, but she wouldn't have the nerve to try to act in front of me. Besides, she said, you not my maid. I didn't bring you to Memphis to be that. I brought you here to love you and help you get on your feet. And now she off on the road for 2 weeks, and me and Grady and Squeak rattle around the house trying to get our stuff together. Squeak been going round to a lot of clubs, and Grady been taking her. Plus, he seemed to be doing a little farming out back the house. I sit in the dining room making pants after pants. I got pants now in every color and size under the sun. Since I started making pants down home, I ain't been able to stop. I changed the cloth, I changed the print, I changed the waist, I changed the pocket, I changed the hem, I changed the fullness of the leg. I make so many pants, Shug teased me. I didn't know what I was starting, she say, laughing. Pants all over her chairs, hanging all in front of the china closet, newspaper patterns and cloth all over the table and the floor. She come home, kiss me, step over all the mess, say, before she leave again, "How much money you think you need this week?" Then finally one day I made the perfect pair of pants for my sugar, naturally. They soft dark blue jersey with teeny patches of red. But what make them so good is they totally comfortable. 'Cause Sug eat a lot of junk on the road and drink, her stomach bloat, so the pants can be let out without messing up the shape. Because she have to pack her stuff and fight wrinkles, these pants are soft, hard to wrinkle at all, and the little figures in the cloth always look perky and bright. And they full round the ankle, so if she want to sing in 'em and wear 'em sort of like a long dress, she can. Plus, once Sug put them on, she'd knock your eyes out. "Miss Seeley," she say, "you is a wonder to behold." I duck my head. She run round the house looking at herself in mirrors. No matter how she look good. "You know how it is when you don't have nothing to do," I say, when she bragged to Grady and Squeak about her pants. I sit here thinking about how to make a living, and before I know it, I'm off on another pair of pants. By now, Squeak see a pair she like. "Oh, Miss Seeley," she say, "can I try on those?" She put on a pair the color of sunset, oranges with a little grayish fleck. She come back out looking just fine. Grady look at her like he could eat her up. Sug finger the pieces of cloth I got hanging on everything. It all soft, flowing, rich, and catch the light. "This a far cry from that stiff army shit us started with," she say. "You ought to make up a special pair to thank and show Jack." What she say that for? The next week I'm in and out of stores spending more of Sug's money. I sit looking out across the yard trying to see in my mind what a pair of pants for Jack would look like. Jack is tall and kind and don't hardly say anything. Love cheering. Respect his wife Odessa and all Odessa Amazon sisters. Anything she want to take on, he right there. Never talking much, though. That's the main thing. And then I remember one time he touched me, and it felt like his fingers had eyes. Felt like he knew me all over, but he just touched my arm up near the shoulder. I start to make pants for Jack. They have to be camel and soft and strong, and they have to have big pockets so he can keep a lot of cheering things, marbles and string and pennies and rocks, and they have to be washable, and they have to fit closer around the leg than Sug's, so he can run if he need to snatch a child out the way of something. And they have to be something he can lay back in when he hold Odessa in front of the fire. And I dream and dream and dream over Jack's pants and cut and sew and finish them and send them off. Next thing I hear, Odessa want a pair. Then Sug want two more pair just like the first. Then everybody in her band wants some. Then orders start to come in from everywhere Sug sing. Pretty soon I'm swamped. One day when Sug come home, I say, "You know, I love doing this, but I got to get out and make a living pretty soon. Look like this just holding me back." She laugh. "Let's us put a few advertisements in the paper," she say, "and let's us raise your prices a hefty notch. And let's us just go ahead and give you this dining room for your factory and get you some more women in here to cut and sew while you sit back and design. You making your living, Seeley," she say. "Girl, you're on your way." "Nettie, I am making some pants for you to beat the heat in Africa. Soft, white, thin, drawstring waist. You won't ever have to feel too hot and overdress again. I plan to make them by hand. Every stitch I sew will be a kiss. Amen. Your sister, Seeley." Folks Pants Unlimited, Sugar Avery Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Dear Nettie, I am so happy. I got love, I got work, I got money, friends, and time. And you alive and be home soon with our children. Jerrine and Darlene come help me with the business. They twins, never married. Love to sew. Plus, Darlene trying to teach me how to talk. She said us not so hot. A dead country giveaway. You say us where most folks say we, she say. And peoples think you dumb. Colored peoples think you a hick. And white folks be amused. What I care, I asked. I'm happy. But she say I feel more happier talking like she talk. Can't nothing make me happier than seeing you again, I think, but I don't say nothing. Every time I say something the way I say it, she correct me until I say it some other way. Pretty soon, it feel like I can't think. My mind run up on a thought, get confused, run back, and sort of lay down. You sure this worth it? I asked. She said, yeah. Bring me a bunch of books. White folks all over them, talking about apples and dogs. What I care about dogs, I think. Darlene, keep trying. Think how much better Suge feel with you educated, she say. She won't be ashamed to take you anywhere. Suge not shame nohow, I say. But she don't believe this the truth. Sugar, she say one day when Suge home, don't you think it'd be nice if Celia could talk proper? Suge say, she can talk in sign language for all I care. She make herself a nice cup of herb tea and start talking about hot oiling her hair. But I let Darlene worry on. Sometimes I think about the apples and the dogs. Sometimes I don't. Look like to me only a fool would want you to talk in a way that feel peculiar to your mind. But she's sweet, and she's so good, and us need something to haggle over while us work. I'm busy making pants for Sophia now. One leg be purple, one leg be red. I dream Sophia wearing these pants. One day she was jumping over the moon. Amen. Your sister, Celie. Dear Nettie, walking down to Harpo and Sophia house, it feel just like old times. Except the house new, down below the juke joint, and it a lot bigger than it was before. Then, too, I feels different, look different. Got on some dark blue pants and a white silk shirt that look righteous. Little red flat heel slippers and a flower in my hair. I passed Mr.'s house and him sitting up on the porch, and he didn't even know who I was. Just when I raise my hand to knock, I hear a crash, sound like a chair falling over. Then I hear arguing. Harpo say, who ever heard of women pallbearers? That all I'm trying to say. Well, say Sophia, you said it. Now you can hush. I know she your mother, say Harpo, but still. You gonna help us or not, say Sophia. What it gonna look like, say Harpo. Three big stout women pallbearers look like they ought to be home frying chicken. Three of our brothers be with us, on the other side, say Sophia. I guess they look like field hands. But people's used to men doing this sort of thing. Women weaker, he say. People think they weaker, say they weaker, anyhow. Women's supposed to take it easy. Cry if you want to. Not try to take over. Try to take over, say Sophia. The woman dead. I can cry and take it easy and lift the coffin too. And whether you help us or not with the food and the chairs and the get-together afterward, that's exactly what I plan to do. It get real quiet. After a while, Harpo say, real soft to Sophia, why you like this, huh? Why you always think you have to do things your own way? I asked your mom about it one time while you was in jail. What'd she say? Asked Sophia. She say you think your way as good as anybody else's. Plus, it yours. Sophia laughed. I know my time and bad, but I knock anyhow. Oh, Miss Seeley, say Sophia, flinging open the screen. How good you look. Don't she look good, Harpo? Harpo stare at me like he never seen me before. Sophia give me a big hug and kiss me on the jaw. Where Miss Shug? She asks. She on the road, I say. But she was real sorry to hear your mama pass. Well, say Sophia, mama fight the good fight. If there's a glory anywhere, she right in the middle of it. How you, Harpo? I asked. Still eatin'? He and Sophia laugh. I don't reckon Mary Agnes could come back this time, say Sophia. She was just here about a month ago. You just ought to see her and Susie Q. No, I say. She finally working steady, singing at two or three clubs round town. Folks love her a lot. Susie Q so proud of her, she say. Love her singing, love her perfume, love her dresses, love to wear her hats and shoes. How's she doing in school? I asked. Oh, she fine, say Sophia, smart as a little whip. Once she got over being mad her mama left her and found out I was Henrietta's real mama, she was all right. She dote on Henrietta. How Henrietta? Evil, say Sophia. Lil' Face always looked like stormy weather. But maybe she'll grow out of it. It took her daddy 40 years to learn to be pleasant. He used to be nasty to his own ma. Y'all see much of him? I asked. About as much as us see of Mary Agnes, say Sophia. Mary Agnes not the same, say Harpo. What you mean? I asked. I don't know, he say. Her mind wander. She talk like she drunk. And every time she turn round, look like she want to see Grady. They both smoke a lot of reefer, I say. Reefer, say Harpo. What kind of a thing is that? Something make you feel good, I say. Something make you see visions. Something make your love come down. But if you smoke it too much, it make you feeble-minded, confused, always need to clutch hold of somebody. Grady grow it in the backyard, I say. I never heard of such a thing, say Sophia. It grow in the ground? Like a weed, I say. Grady got half an acre if he got a row. How big it get? Asks Harpo. Big, I say, way up over my head, and bushy. And what part they smoke? The leaf, I say. And they smoke up all that? He asked. I laugh. No, he sell most of it. You ever taste it? He asked. Yeah, I say. He make it up in cigarettes, sell 'em for a dime. It rots your breath, I say. But y'all want to try one? Not if it make us crazy, says Sophia. It hard enough to get by without being a fool. It just like whiskey, I say. You got to stay ahead of it. You know, a little drink now and then never hurt nobody. But when you can't get started without asking the bottle, you in trouble. You smoke it much, Miss Seeley? Harpo asked. Do I look like a fool? I asked. I smoke when I want to talk to God. I smoke when I want to make love. Lately, I feel like me and God make love just fine anyhow, whether I smoke reefer or not. Miss Seeley, say Sophia, shock. Girl, I'm blessed, I say to Sophia. God know what I mean. Us sit round the kitchen table and light up. I show 'em how to suck in the wind. Harpo gets strangled. Sophia choke. Pretty soon, Sophia say, that funny. I never heard that humming before. What humming? Harpo asked. Listen, she say. Us get real quiet and listen. Sure enough, us hear, "Where are they coming from?" asked Sophia. She get up and go look out the door. Nothing there. Sound get louder. Mmm. Harper go look out the window. Nothing out there, he say. Humming say, mmm. I think I know what it is, I say. They say, what? I say, everything. Yeah, they say. That make a lots of sense. Well, say Harpo at the funeral, here come the Amazons. Her brother's there too, I whisper back. What you call them? I don't know, he say. Them three always stood by their crazy sisters. Nothing yet could get them to budge. I wonder what their wives have to put up with. They all march stoutly in, shaking the church, and place Sophia, mother, in front the pulpit. Folks crying and fanning and trying to keep a stray eye on their cheering, but they don't stare at Sophia and her sisters. They act like this the way it always done. I love folks. Amen. Dear Nettie, the first thing I notice about Mister is how clean he is. His skin shine, his hair brushed back. When he walked by the casket to review Sophia Mother's body, he stopped, whisper something to her, pat her shoulder. On his way back to his seat, he look over at me. I raise my fan and look off the other way. Us went back to Harpo's after the funeral. I know you won't believe this, Miss Seeley, say Sophia, but Mister act like he trying to get religion. Big a devil as he is, I say, trying is about all he can do. He don't go to church or nothing, but he not so quick to judge. He work real hard, too. What? I say, Mister work? He sure do. He out there in the field from sunup to sundown. And clean that house just like a woman. Even cook, say Harpo. And what more, wash the dishes when he finish. No, I say. Y'all must still be dope. But he don't talk much or be round people, Sophia say. Sound like craziness closing in to me, I say. Just then, Mister walk up. How you, Seeley? He say. Fine, I say. I look in his eyes, and I see he feeling scared of me. Well, good, I think. Let him feel what I felt. Shug didn't come with you this time, he say. No, I say, she have to work. Sorry about Sophia Mama, though. Anybody be sorry, he say. The woman that brought Sophia in the world brought something. I don't say nothing. They put her away nice, he say. They sure did, I say. And so many grandchildren, he say. Well, 12 children, all busy multiplying. Just a family enough to fill the church. Yeah, I say, that's the truth. How long you here for, he say. Maybe a week, I say. You know Harpo and Sophia, baby girl, real sick, he say. No, I didn't, I say. I point to Henrietta in the crowd. There she is over there, I say. She looked just fine. Yeah, she looked fine, he say. But she got some kind of blood disease. Blood sort of clot up in her veins every once in a while. Make her sick as a dog. I don't think she gonna make it, he say. Great goodness of life, I say. Yeah, he say. It hard for Sophia. She still have to try to prop up that white gal she raised. Now her mama dead. Her health not that good either. Plus, Henrietta a hard road to hoe, whether she's sick or well. Oh, she a little mess, I say. Then I think back to one of Nettie's letters about the sicknesses Jaron have where she at in Africa. Seemed like to me she mentioned something about blood clots. I try to remember what she said African peoples do, but I can't. Talking to Mister, such a surprise, I can't think of nothing. not even nothing else to say. Mr. Stan waiting for me to say something, looking off up to his house. Finally he say, good evening, and walk away. Sophia say after I left, Mr. lived like a pig, shut up in the house so much it stunk, wouldn't let nobody in until finally Harpo forced his way in, cleaned the house, got food, give his daddy a bath. Mr. too weak to fight back, plus too far gone to care. He couldn't sleep, she say. At night he thought he heard bats outside the door, other things rattling in the chimney. But the worst part was having to listen to his own heart. It did pretty well as long as there was daylight, but soon as night come, it went crazy, beating so loud it shook the room. Sound like drums. Harpo went up there plenty nights to sleep with him, say Sophia. Mister would be all cram up in a corner of the bed, eyes clamp on different pieces of furniture, see if they move in his direction. You know how little he is, say Sophia, and how big and stout Harpo is. Well, one night I walked up to tell Harpo something, and the two of them was just laying there on the bed, fast asleep. Harpo holding his daddy in his arms. After that, I start to feel again for Harpo, Sophia say, and pretty soon I'll start work on our new house. She laugh. But did I say it been easy? If I did, God would make me cut my own switch. What make him pull through? I asked. Oh, she say, Harpo made him send you the rest of your sister's letters. Right after that, he start to improve. You know meanness kill, she say. Amen. Dearest Celie, by now I expected to be home, looking into your face and saying, Celie, is it really you? I try to picture what the years have brought you in the way of weight and wrinkles, or how you fix your hair. From a skinny, hard little something, I've become quite plump, and some of my hair is gray. But Samuel tells me he loves me plump and graying. Does this surprise you? We were married last fall in England, where we tried to get relief for the Alinka from the churches and the missionary society. As long as they could, the Alinka ignored the road and the white builders who came. But eventually they had to notice them because one of the first things the builders did was tell the people they must be moved elsewhere. The builders wanted the village site as headquarters for the rubber plantation. It is the only spot for miles that has a steady supply of fresh water. Protesting and driven, the Olinka, along with their missionaries, were placed on a barren stretch of land that has no water at all for 6 months of the year. During that time, they must buy water from the planters. During the rainy season, there is a river, and they are trying to dig holes in the nearby rocks to make cisterns. So far, they collect water in discarded oil drums, which the builders brought. But the most horrible thing to happen had to do with the roof leaf, which, as I must have written you, the people worship as a god, and which they use to cover their huts. Well, on this barren strip of ground, the planters erected workers' barracks, one for men and one for women and children. But because the Olinka swore they would never live in a dwelling not covered by their god, Roof Leaf, the builders left these barracks uncovered. Then they proceeded to plow under the Olinka village and everything else for miles around, including every last stalk of roof leaf. After nearly unbearable weeks in the hot sun, we were awakened one morning by the sound of a large truck pulling into the compound. It was loaded with sheets of corrugated tin. Celie, we had to pay for the tin, which exhausted what meager savings the Olinka had, and nearly wiped out the money Samuel and I had managed to put by for the education of the children once we return home, which we have planned to do each year since Corrine died, only to find our